And we bless you this morning, Lord. Thank you for being such a wonderful Father. There is none like you. Thank you that we are loved with a generous love. And that we are cared for by the Father Himself. And thank you, Jesus, that you came and covered us with your blood, like a blanket of grace. You came and covered us, our sins, our filth, you took away. And in that we find a joy that this world cannot touch. And so we carry our hearts back to you this morning. And we bless you. I want to challenge you to thank the Lord for five things where you are standing, for five things in your life. Dit is in jou eie woorde, wat wys die Heilige Gees vir jou vanoggend? Thank him. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You're welcome to take your seat this morning. Wow. Will you just turn to someone and tell them some of those things you are thankful for this morning? Vertel bietjie vir jou vriend wat daar langs jou sit, waarvoor is jy dankbaar? Niemand mag sê die bokke nie, want dis 'n glibberige rots om op te staan, onthou. And they said the rapture was going to be last week. I'm not making a joke, okay? I'm not making a joke. But what I think what actually happened is, who of you gave your heart to the Lord like in the late 90s or early 2000s? Daai studente, omtrent jy en ek, visavis. So you'd know it wasn't the rapture, but what Eugene and the band did is they took us back to the early 2000s. Who noticed that? Yes. Felt like I was 20 years old for a moment. Dankie julle vir daai trip down memory lane. That was awesome. We're carrying on verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're getting to a passage on fasting. Let's read this together, and then I will pray. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and their fasting, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Father, this morning I pray that you will teach us something about who you are and who we are. And as we look into fasting, I pray the chambers of our hearts will be unlocked. And that we would grow this morning. And that a hunger for you will be created in our midst. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we don't have a corporate or a fast date to point to, but the scripture takes us over fasting this morning. And so I want to invite you to fast a day this week. A day that's up to you, maybe your wife, do it together and pray and fast for a day. And if you want to, there's a bunch of us coming together in smaller groups this week that's going to share soup together. Maybe the leader can invite everyone who wants to fast that day to fast, if you can, and if you're healthy and able to, and then we can break fast together with the soup. Amen? But according to your faith, all right? I want to talk about fasting this morning, and I want to start here where Jesus tells us how we should fast, but then I'll move on to a little bit wider on the topic, what happens when we fast. It is important to note that even earlier in Matthew 6, as Jesus was introducing the idea of prayer, he moves into the heart very intentionally. He says, listen, before I'm going to tell you how to pray, I want to tell you something about prayer. It must be personal and private before it is shared in the streets. Remember that verse? Okay, go into your room. The Pharisees, they want to pray where they can be seen. But I want you to be able to go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who sees in secret. Okay, and we see kind of like the same pattern repeating itself with fasting. And so if these Pharisees enjoyed praying in public in order to be noticed, one could assume that when they were fasting, hoe lang vas jy al? Nee, 29 dae, devoted tot die Here. And Jesus speaks into that culture. He says, listen, when you fast before the face of the Lord. And if it's possible, the people don't even have to know. Wash your face, anoint your head, doen jou make-up, moenie jou kamerjas in die straat stap want jy vas nie. Okay? Go out there because the Lord knows what's happening between you and him. Now, but there's also a time for corporate fast. There was a time when God would call Israel to fast, so everyone would know there's a fast. And so the point is not that people may not know, people must not know you are fasting. The point is this. Do I fast in order to be seen by others? Okay? There's a big difference between that and being seen or noticed when I fast. Verstaan julle wat ek sê? There's a big difference. Sometimes when you are fasting unto the Lord, you're minding your own business, people might notice, don't worry, your reward is not taken away, okay? The position of the heart is to be in front of the Lord in a space of prayer and meditation and focus. I want to read from the Old Testament for a moment. And some of you will connect the dots. I'll read that next scripture as well where Jesus are tempted, but when Jesus is tempted by Satan in the desert, he quotes from this passage. Just read with me. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years. Okay, Jesus fasted 40 days. That he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make known that man does not live by bread alone. Remember those words? But man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I just want to say, on the topic of fasting, pray that the Lord would give you a desire to know him. Because it is the only heart that will engage and understand fasting in the right way is a heart that longs to know God better. This is a foreign concept for the religious. I just want to please God. I just want to make sure I did enough to please him. Because fasting is going beyond. Fasting is not focused on all the things that God can do for me. Fasting is, I want to know you more. I want to know you better. And so in that sense, fasting is makes sense for the mature disciple, but it's quite an inconvenience for others. Right. And so let us be challenged and let us grapple with this. This is why scripture brings us here. Let us wrestle with this. Is there a hunger in me? And is there a hunger in you to know God more? Because I'll tell you what, fasting will help with that. Let's continue. just busy just setting the context, and then I'm going to share four things that happens in our hearts when we fast. Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. What happened just before that? There goes our slides. Jesus got baptized, and the Father spoke. He said, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus was filled with the Spirit. What we need to know is Jesus is not fasting for the affection of his Father. He has that. Can you see the sequence? This is my Son. I love him. The Spirit fills him. Jesus moves from that place of being loved, and he draws into the presence of the Father through fasting. What is he doing? He's coming closer. Right? So we never fast for love. We never fast want dan gaan die Here my accept, because then you are doing a selfish fast. You're fasting for something that you want. We're fasting is meant to gain a closer relationship with God. Okay? It's from acceptance into love. I'm not saying, let me just help myself there. I'm not saying sometimes we enter a fast because we need God's guidance in so many things in our life. Okay, there is matters that concerns us, and a time of fasting helps us because it brings us closer to him, and then he will help us see better, all right? But we don't fast for God's love. It is given to those who are born again, right? He's not the Father that's waiting for you to punish yourself, and then he's going to love you a bit more, right? And it might be in our lives that our relationship with our earthly fathers resemble traces like that. Like, if I please my dad, he would love me. If I do these things that he likes it when I do, then he's kind. Otherwise, he's mad. But we must remember that God is different. He loves you, and he's inviting you nearer when you go into a time of fasting. He's not asking you to work for his love. Anyways, after fasting 40 days, because the Israelites, they traveled for 40 years in the desert. Jesus fasted 40 days, and he was hungry, understatement of the century. And then the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, and he pulls from Deuteronomy, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now already we're seeing a little bit of a sequence here. The Father tells the world, or all the witnesses, "I love the Son," and the Spirit comes and fills Jesus. Okay, so we know he's not fasting for love. Then Jesus fasts, but then comes a what? A trial. And so it looks, and the pattern we see here is that Jesus came out of a time of proximity with God in fasting, and he was ready to face his greatest adversary. Just note, because we're going to touch on that. What happens when we fast? The first thing I'm going to say, I'm going to put four things on us this morning, is it's preparation for future trials. Okay. Fasting can be preparation for future trials. When we fast, the big term is it's a voluntary forfeiture. Okay. I forfeit food. I'm saying I'm not going to take it. I get brood by the eyes. Okay, I'm not starving, but voluntarily what I'm going to do is I'm going to put something aside that my body needs in order to draw near to God in a unique way during this time. And what it does is one aspect that comes in, it's training is happening for future trials. Let me explain this firstly, apply it to a couple of worldly examples. We do this in natural life as well. Who knows what hypoxia is? Dr. Linda, weet jy lach al klaar? It is when the body needs oxygen, but there's no oxygen. You know when that happens with you? when you're jogging. Okay? Now, when you are training for a marathon, what you're going to do is you're going to do voluntary forfeiture of what? Oxygen on your system. You are not going to pitch up for the marathon after resting for 3 months. No. What you're going to do is you're going to fast. You're going to put your body in situations where there's not enough oxygen. How are you going to do it? You're going to do it in a similar way than the race that you're going to run. You're going to put on your shoes and you're going to run. Now, you used to do 5Ks, but now you want to do 42. So you're going to now take your body longer times on the feet, whereas you now go for the first time into 12, 13, 17 kilometers, the body is under stress for oxygen and other things as well. But what the body now is learning is, okay, this body often comes to a place where oxygen efficiency is an issue. And what does the body do? It adapts. And it adapts on a cell level, on a muscle level, on a mitochondrial level. Little cells, they become thicker and more dense. And the body makes more blood cells to carry oxygen. And the lungs work better. And what is happening now is the forfeiture or the taking away of oxygen has caused the body to be better. And now when you run, you've been there before. We're fasting spiritually, the same thing happens. You're putting your spirit under stress by taking some of the natural things away for the short while. Okay? And you know your fast is over tomorrow. But what now happens is you want to eat, you want to, but you're not going to. But I don't like it when I'm hungry and I can't eat. I don't even like it when I'm hungry and there's only a little bit of food. Okay? Sometimes I don't like it when I'm hungry and I've got an appetite and there's food, but there's no dessert. But now I'm fasting and there's nothing. And what's happening is I, in my spirit, need to deal with there's something I want, but that I cannot have, like oxygen. But now I have to deal with it. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to bring this strong will I have to have it my way to you. And I want you to help me this moment. Now I'm drawing near. I'm learning one lesson. It's one example. I want something. I can't have it. But I will now ask God to teach me to still have joy. Okay, this is one example. Tomorrow I go to work. My colleague tells me, sorry, I messed this up. You must fix it. I don't want to do it, but I must do it. But just yesterday, under God's hand, I was trained in a situation where I wanted something, but I prayed. I could not have it, but I took my joy in any case, and now I'm fit for the battle that lies ahead. A very simple example. Are you with me this morning? Now, preparation for future trials happens in present fasting. Another example, just a practical illustration. Sometimes, and I don't know if they did it with you guys, Andres, and sometimes in the military they would take the people, they would take them without sleep to agitate them, to teach the soldiers or the unit to make good decisions when they're under pressure. Because at the home base you can sleep, you can eat, you can sleep, you can eat. But maybe if you are captured, you've got no food, no sleep, and they torture you. But what we need to do in a safe space, we need to make a decision, like I make a decision to fast, to withhold this military unit from sleep to see if there's any weaknesses surfacing that we can strengthen so that when they're in the same situation in the field, they've been there before. Okay? And in a similar way, fasting help us in that way. Does that make sense? If you think you are sometimes irritated, wait till you fast. If you think you need patience with your children when the noise level goes there, wait when it's there and you haven't eaten for a day. And so what is God doing? He is taking you to a place where he's training you. And it's actually a safe environment because the food is right there. You're not starving in the desert. You are training. Okay. Now, fasting is more than that, but that's at least one thing that you can take home. What is the purpose if I have to fast this week? You know what? You don't know what's going to happen next week in your life or next month. And it could be that the Lord wants to come alongside you and train you this week. And you might only fast for one day. But maybe tomorrow, the day after, you'll say, I know exactly why I needed to fast. Because he showed me something. He trained me. My king and my coach was walking next alongside me and he trained me. Right. It's preparation for future trials. It's also interesting when in the Old Testament it says, you went hungry, but then I fed you with manna, which you did not know. Okay? And so when the Israelites did not know that God could supernaturally provide resources in that way when they were in Egypt. But when they were in a state of fasting, their 40 years, there was no food, they discovered that God has a way to bring resources or care into their lives that they or their fathers never heard about. And so sometimes when we fast, we discover wells in us that God has placed there, but it can be concealed. Concealed with what? Food is from God. Being busy and productive, it's from God. But we can move in this world in such a way that the noise goes up so much that food plays such a role and our busyness such a role that we actually don't know some of the wonderful resources that the Lord has placed in us until we are under stress. And then we realize, wow, there's manna. Wow, he's faithful. And you are better equipped for the next day. Tik jou ou langs jou en sê for future trials. Ezra 8 verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava. So here's an example where there was a corporate fast. All right, everyone knew everyone was fasting. That we might humble ourselves. So now the purpose of this fast, Ezra said, this is why we did it. To humble ourselves. It was a purposeful action towards humility. To seek from God also a safe journey for ourselves, our children, all our goods. How does this work? Well, fasting produces humility. The second thing I want to say. Now, it's amazing how fragile we are when we don't get food. I mean, fasting for 3 days, for example, you're not going to die. Okay, but it's a challenge. It's tough going to bed hungry. And you know what happens? It humbles us because so much of this life is geared at making a living, feeding yourself and your family, which is God's will. Especially if your parents or the man, it's one of our jobs is to care and provide. But then during a voluntary fast, for me, the hardest part is going to bed. Once I'm awake in the morning, that's okay. But going to bed hungry, and you know what? We forget there's people that does it every day. And we are faced with the fact that ek het trots geraak. I've been taking it for granted. There's food on my table every day. And so what I can do with that is I can say, Lord, will you help me just to be humble again, to realize I'm so blessed. If you can have a slice of bread with butter and peanut butter, that's 3 ingredients more than what some people have. And so fasting helps us with that. We have to feel it sometimes with the body. When the body goes to a certain place, it helps our spirit meditate from a different angle. Like, yo, Lord, I'm really, really blessed. And then one can repent. You can say, Lord, I just want to repent that I'm driving so fast in my life that I haven't stopped to really thank you that I can open a tap and there's water. I can make myself a cup of tea. There's food to eat. there's funds for school fees. I really, really just want to humble myself before you and say, thank you, because this provision comes from you. And so fasting helps us with humility. But then we can go also further, because what we realize is fasting is a, it tells a story. My physical need is in one sense a mirror of a twin brother, and that is my spiritual need. Okay. Now, when we go without food naturally, we feel exposed and uncovered. We realize how vulnerable we are. But then when we look to the Lord and we ask Him to guide us, we also realize that spiritually, I'm very dependent on God, and I'm actually need Him to nourish me. Because what happens is sometimes when my stomach is full, physically, I think it's going good with me spiritually, because I feel great. Okay? But now when I lift that covering off and I'm dealing with physical hunger, I'm reminded that as I in my body need to eat some bread or salad or something to sustain me in my body, I must ask myself, have I really been sustaining my spirit? And that is an act of humbling. Lord, I've been maybe, because you've blessed me with so much provision physically, I've actually neglecting spiritual expansion and growth. Will you give me the bread of everlasting life always? And then I'm reminded about a woman that went to a well to get physical water. And what did Jesus say? I want to give you, it's drink water. It's good. Jesus drank water. He feasted. He had wine. But he told that woman, but remember, there's a water, if you drink it, you will never thirst again. It's the superior water, what the spirit man needs. Are you with me this morning? We also face with some of our natural weaknesses, like when we, but let me leave that for the next point. You know why this is so precious? Fasting produces humility because God gives grace to the humble and He resists the proud. Amen? Let's go on. Fasting produces humility. Right, slide number 8. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. And my prayer returned into my own bosom. What David is saying is, Lord, I want you to know and help me discover, God knows, help me to know what is in my heart that I may seek you and find you in a deeper way. And he also goes to fasting. And the third thing I want to say this morning is that when we fast, we discover areas, if we can go to that next slide, where we need to be liberated from. Fasting is discovering. Okay, so, you know when you, we don't have basements. With a basement. Yeah, in other countries, basements, it's a huge thing to be space efficient. Homes are big in South Africa, we've got space. Other places, you've got basements. And that's often the place where you've got rats, mesa, okay? You don't want to know about them. Now, the thing is, when you go down the steps, like this to the basement, you'll see no rats. Did you know that? Because they know you're coming. But if you're down there, and it is, and you can sit there for 2 hours, and someone suddenly puts on the light, you'll see something scramble, right? And in one sense, fasting is like that. It's so hard to pinpoint if it's going so well with me. God is blessing us this moment. En is besig in ons levens, né? Dis besig vir al die met jong families. it's sometimes hard to put my hand on areas I need to grow. But then I slow the speed down, I take food away, and it's like the light in the basement goes on. Suddenly, I'm irritated. Ek word getrigger so. And then the first thing I do is I say, but it's because I'm hungry. And then what will the Spirit tell me? The hunger is only revealing something that was already there, that's hiding under all the blessings you have and the fullness you have in your life. But once taken away, you can really see areas to work on in your life. This is for the mature. Because the religious, they're not looking for areas to work on. If you in fact tell them, I think there's an area you can work on, they will justify their behavior. But those who want to grow in the Lord, they want to grow. And they're looking for, like, is there an area, Lord, that you can touch in my life where I can grow in? And fasting is a great revealer of that. A military term, and I know Andres knows more about these things than me, is stress inoculation. Okay, it's similar to street deprivation. It's where you put a unit, you can do it for a rugby team as well. You put them under stress, and then you see areas of weakness. Okay, so for example, let's use a rugby as an example. I know it better than the military. You've got a great move that you want to do against a great opponent in the World Cup final. Now you do your move, you practice it, but there's no one playing against you. Now that's easy. Now you bring the reserves and you say, okay, now you put pressure on these guys. When they go up in the line-out, you illegally stamp hulle sommer, ruk hulle, trek 'n trei, probeer 'n ou se voet vashou. Because as you resist, we will see if there is any weaknesses in this plan. When they set up the rock, don't let the ball come out quickly. Let them deal with, they started to run, but hold up also bikkie fast. Now, when you fast, in one sense, you are putting your system that daily runs in a good rhythm under stress, and you see all kind of cracks that you can now say, oh, Lord, I picked up frustration. Despair. Stop off a Bay Burgundy. And what happens is you realize, shucks, when you don't have something that someone else have, you're jealous. But now you cover it out because when you go home, you open the fridge, you carry on. But now when you are under stress, you realize you don't like to see someone else have something that you don't want. What just happened? The Lord is showing you an area you can grow in. Amen? Discovery. And the liberation of change. Why is this liberating? Because what if the Lord heals you of that? What if He delivers you of that? Wow. You'll become a better businessman, a better friend, a better spouse. And you'll be happier with yourself because you have just been set free of something that was maybe hiding in the basement. But the light went on into Signor. Amen? Who's getting excited to fast? Any rotte te sien? Ask this, you know. Yeah. But you see, the testing ground becomes a healing ground. And so when you fast, just to go back to where we started, this is not about having other people noticed your piety. It's about you fasting in front of God's face and discovering a whole lot of things about your own life, and tomorrow you have grown. It is an accelerator. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so, if we go to that next slide, please. That'll be great, Matulan. So we hear from Jesus' invitation. And then we also see in Jesus' life, like often he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray. And even though fasting is not mentioned here, I'm not meaning to say he always fasted there, but what I'm saying is there was a goal, there's an invitation from God to be intimate with him, and Jesus was very intentional to come near to the Father. And fasting is one of those ways that we put intention or action to this idea of drawing close to him. When Jesus withdrew to a desolate place, he was away from the fridge, he was away from the market, he was away from the businesses. And so all the other noises were silence. Die ander manne is hier nie. Ons gaan later brood breek, nie nou nie. And until there's only one left. And that is the language of love. The other thing, therefore, that happens when you fast is you are drawing near to your greatest love. That's why it doesn't help I fast but watch series that day. Come on. Come on. You're just starving. Ek kan net so wel maar eet eerder. The goal is to draw near and be near to him. To go to a desolate place and pray. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go into the mountain. But sometimes the desolate place is just shutting down all the noises of the world until they're not there anymore. I'm almost done. Now with this, I want to help some of us, because some of you, you're like me, like fasting is not your favorite thing in the world. But there's a great encouragement for us. Fasting, in one sense, that drawing near, shows a homesickness to be with God. Okay. Now there's two, your heart can be in one of two places, and God will help you in either way. Well, the first part, you're halfway there. The first part, you're so in love with the Lord, at this time, you just feel him so near, something went down in your life, you came to church, someone prayed with you, and you're just like, yes, I sense him, I feel him. You know what, I'm actually going to fast, and ek is nie eens hongerie. And the reality of God has quenched other appetites. It overshadowed your other appetites, and you enter into a fast to go closer to him, but it's almost like there's a lot of momentum here. And there's, obviously what it shows is that the Lord is capturing your heart, and you're responding well to him. On the other side, you have, oh my, more moet ons vas. And you don't feel the butterflies. Who's been there before? Kom, wees gou eerlik. Net ekke. Ek sê, dit kom om my hand op te sit hier. Almal weet ek hou van 'n beskuitjie of drie. But the other position, when you continue to fast, in any case, is just as powerful. You know why? You are using fasting as a weapon to break the power of those appetites until your love for God grows through the fasting. Are you with me? And that's you, Lord. I'm tired here. It full of vastgemaak is here, but I'm going to fast because I'm going to make my way towards you. I'm going to climb out of this thing. I'm going to conquer this thing. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to make my way towards you because I can actually confess my appetite for the world is more. Let me be honest with you. The world and all this stuff, it's more real to me. I love it more. I like it more. In my mind, I want to love you more. But it's not my reality. And I want to confess this. So when I fast, will you help me stepping out of change until I find you and know all those things might be good. Remember, your greatest challenge is not the feast of the wicked, but the nibbling at the table of the world. That is the good stuff. Is there any poison here? Is there apple pastai? Apple pie of the lekker goed. It's all the good things that often becomes ultimate things. Okay? Those are the hard things. But when I fast, I say, Lord, I know food is good. I know there's nothing wrong with using my phone in the right way. I know there's nothing wrong with going to a braai. In fact, it's a good thing. We can invite people. But for this day, I want my heart to have an appetite that is above all those things. And there's honor and glory in that. Because that's the intentional move of a disciple. Drawing near to your greatest love. Does that make sense, everyone? I'm finishing off with my last scripture. Don't you want to stand with me this morning? Maybe there's a couple of people here this morning that's new around you, and you're like, yo, these people, they're talking about fasting. I don't even understand exactly what it means to know Jesus. You're at the right place. I just want to sum it up for you like this. Fasting is us drawing near to God and being intentional. But before we could do that, there was a Savior that came near to us, Jesus Christ. And He became flesh and He dwelled among us. And we've seen His glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And He came to His own, but the people did not receive Him. Many people said no, they did not receive Him. Others did. And this morning I want to just encourage each and every one of you. If you feel overwhelmed with a task ahead and you don't know the front from the back, I want to tell you, before you make a move towards God, Christ came. He made the first move. He left His place in heaven to come and be with you and to die for you on a cross. And let that comfort you this morning. And I do want to ask you in this place this morning, have you received Him? When you discovered that He came from you and you heard the message, or maybe this morning you came into the church for the first time in a long time and something drew you in the worship, something pulled on your heart, and maybe some of the things didn't make sense, others did. But I've got a question for you. Are you ready to receive Him? Because He's got His hand stretched out to you. So Holy Spirit, this morning I want to thank You that You always point us to Jesus. And that You show us a way. The way, the only way. And this morning, Holy Spirit, I pray that as You are drawing hearts, that we will remember that Christ came to His own, but we would be those that will receive Him. I want to ask you this morning, while every eye is closed, if you know that you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, and you want to take a step of faith to do that, it's going to take a step of faith, then when I say three, I want you to put your hand up very high and say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know there's no other way for me. I'm ready to go all in on Jesus. And maybe you've experienced the draw of the Holy Spirit. Let His work be completed with you responding this morning. No one can do this for you. But if you want to receive Him this morning, when I say three, put your hand up as high as you can. One, two, and three. Thank you for those hands. Don't be shy this morning. Don't be shy this morning. It's gone, busy. Keep your hand up very high. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing, a very brave thing. When I say three, I want you to come to the front. We're going to pray for you. No one's going to look. No one's going to see you. This is just so we can have access to you, because we want to bless you and help you over this line, all right? So when I say three, take a step of faith and come to the front and let's cheer for these people. One, two, three. Let's go. Let's move. Thank you for your faith, sir. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your faith. Let's go. Don't be afraid. Those hands in the back. Muni bang vesi. We are celebrating you this morning. Or celebrate you. Celebrate you. Can I have facilitators? Michelle Gideon, come help. My small group is. We're going to pray with you this morning. We must remember there's opportunity for us to draw together to Jesus, but there's a world that is waiting to take their first step, and we celebrate it with them. Let's give the Lord another clap, everyone. Jonathan, can I get some more facilitators here in front? Oh, there we go. I want to ask you this morning while you are standing, let's not go to the bathrooms now or grab coffee. Let's have a moment. God is doing a saving work in this place. But I want you to sit for a minute and reflect on what is the Lord saying to you this morning? Is He maybe calling you to a one-day fast, to a two-day fast? And just for a moment, if you want to, you can turn to your spouse and say, what are you sensing? Let's take 1 minute before we leave and before we leave this place. Thank you. You can sit down for a moment. Church, we're going to spend some time in front praying. If you've got any prayer requests, you're welcome to come to the front. I want to formally dismiss you. We can make some space for the next congregation coming in. See you again soon. And if you've got any prayer requests, please come to the front. Bless you.